Welcome to the new elongated version of Shattering Myths and to our new time slot, which runs from noon to 3 o'clock Eastern Time. I am Yada. This program is devoted to the most important segment of our society, to those who know that the world's political, religious, media, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, that they are the cause of the most serious problems plaguing our planet. And even repopulated with different personnel, they will never be part of any rational solution. Our mission, therefore, is to look behind the headlines, to know who is perpetrating the crimes that are destroying our world, to understand why these institutions are doing so, because exposing errant and treacherous schemes is wise, it's compassionate, it's merciful. Further, during our second hour, we're going to use evidence and reason to explore the Torah, which means teaching, not law, because its covenant provides the only reliable guidance for you and your family. Our number, if you'd like to participate in this program now at any time over the next 3 hours, is 877-300-7645. Just by way of overview, since we haven't discussed this in some time, there are a baker's dozen of topics that I enjoy talking about, that I have at least some expertise in and can add to the discussion. And so at any time during the next 3 hours, if you or on any future program want to discuss any one of these topics, this program is for you. And I'm going to go through them and tell you about the topics that I think are appropriate for the show and the half a dozen that are not. We'll begin with politics and patriotism. Now, here, so long as you know that I'm an opponent and not an advocate, we can have a lively discussion. I am not aligned with any political party. I do not endorse any political party. I do not encourage patriotism. I instead serve in this role to expose and condemn the problems associated with political institutions. The same thing could be said of religion. I am not a member of any religion. I do not have any affinity with any group. I'm opposed to Christianity, to Islam, to Judaism, to socialist secular humanism, to Mormonism, to Scientology, you name it. And we can talk about the reasons why. And if you want to call and advocate on behalf of any one of those religions, you will be given the opportunity to make a point. State whatever you think is the single most important aspect of your cause, and then I will use my time to repudiate your statement. Economics is a topic that I enjoy talking about, from taxation to inflation, from fascism to communism, from fiat currencies to national debt. If you would like to talk about the fate of your country, any country, where it is headed, what the consequence is of fiat currencies, debt, taxation, inflation, and the subtle differences between fascism and communism, this show is for you. I'm not a proponent of the military. I share a Jeffersonian position, but I like to discuss matters military. We can discuss any one of America's 101 wars. We can discuss ongoing battles and their consequence. We are going to do so today in the news. Pending your calls, I always have prepared the topics from the news to discuss today. It is going to be on the Iraq war. The Iraq war, you might say. I thought the big war was Syria, but no. Iraq has emerged again in blazing guns, fighting a civil war between Sunni and Shia Islam. This program is open to the discussion of terrorism, so long as that you know that terrorism is a tactic. We will discuss what it is, who commits it, and how to actually stop it. And we will consider the great myth of fighting a war against a tactic, as America seems bent on doing. I thoroughly enjoy discussing the media, both journalistic abrogation as well as their collective willful ignorance. We will discuss error and conformity in the media, and I am happy to entertain your views on the media, whether they be consistent with or opposed to my own. We have not spent much time over the past 2 years speaking of business, but I took two companies public. I have considerable expertise in sales, marketing, finance, manufacturing, personnel, and technology, and I'm happy to discuss them because business is the engine that drives national economies, and if it were not for that, nations as we know them would not exist. I'm not a fan of academia, particularly on what it has become. But we can discuss it on this show. It is a topic that I think is critical to our world. I particularly like discussing the transition from thinking to conforming, from educating to indoctrination that is taking place in Western schools. History is a favorite topic. We can discuss history from a unique perspective here, not only ancient history and its influence on our world today, but also future history. And you might say, future history, how in the world can you discuss that? And that is because the events that are taking place today are all points to conclusions that are virtually certain. And that we also have a guidebook in Yahweh's prophets to understand where the world is going. So we can speak about future history on this program with great confidence. In fact, future history may be as important as knowing ancient history. I've traveled in 150 nations. I have travel experiences and observations from those nations. I enjoy the implements of travel, both aviation and boating, have owned small and large versions of both, and enjoy discussions regarding them. On the topic of science, I am an avid amateur. I love astronomy, physics, biology, chemistry, anthropology, and if nothing else, we can have a discussion that helps enlighten our collective audience, because the more you really understand about science, the more the world begins to make sense. There are lots of programs devoted to sports, and while I enjoy most and played most, we've never had a sports discussion on this show, with exception of my show's producers. Scott in the past has been an avid sportsman. Aaron currently enjoys sports, and so I'm game for it. It's probably not the best use of our program, but I'm certainly game for it. My favorite topic, of course, is the Torah. Its purpose, its teaching, its covenant, and its author. We will inevitably dedicate the last half of each day's programs to what God has to say. The topics that I'm not particularly comfortable with, one I know a lot about, but I'm just not your guy, and that's conspiracy theories. I don't like going from the obvious to what is often imagined. I don't like to go from reason to speculation. I don't like to squander credibility. And I think the moment you begin to talk about conspiracy, you instantly destroy your credibility. The other issue is that quite often in conspiracies, very elaborate schemes are presented when the obvious is far more enlightening, far more pertinent. You know, for example, this myth that the United States perpetrated 9/11 and that it was not perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims screaming Allahu Akbar as they flew planes into our buildings is wholly counterproductive. So we're not going there. Now, I've read everything I think there is to read about the original documents of Adam Weishaupt and his creation of the Order of the Illumes and how it influences our world today. And so I'm willing to have brief discussions on the influence of the of Adam Weishaupt on, for example, Jefferson and Washington, Benjamin Franklin, the founders of America. But we aren't going to devote this program to conspiracy theories. In entertainment, there's a lot of hosts that are really good in that field, and I am very weak on movies, Broadway shows, particularly video games, and gambling. This is not a program for that. As it relates to personal advice, I am not qualified as a psychologist and will not go there. Having listened to the various psychology shows on the air, I'm not sure that that hosts of those shows are qualified either. There are a lot of shows that are devoted these days to sexual trends. And as it relates to societal influences, it's fair game. We can discuss things related to sexual trends, but my views are going to be consistent. I believe that everybody should have the freedom to do whatever they want, but not promote whatever they want. Technology, there's, again, many shows, particularly on the weekends, of technologists. And even though I was the founder and CEO of a technology company, you know, I'm still an analog guy that found himself stuck in the digital age. So that's kind of the review of topics. 877-300-7645, and we'll discuss any of them. At this time, I want to go to our first story, at least in our new time slot. It is brought to us by CNN. It is important that you know that the source of this story is CNN, that the dateline is Washington, D.C., because it is filled with mistakes. But worse than that, this story is written at the level of a grammar school student. I suspect the writing level here would be consistent with a child in the fifth or sixth grade. And we, throughout this review of this story, will be asking ourselves, why was it written at this level? Has America really been dumbed down to the level that to communicate effectively with a large audience, you have to speak at a grammar school level? This Dateline Washington CNN report reads, the recent fighting, I think we should call it what it is. This is a religious civil war between Sunni and Shia Islam in Iraq has posed a serious challenge, the CNN journalist writes, to Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki and his government, raising questions about his ability to hold the country together amid a rising insurgency. When we return to Shattering Myths, we're going to shatter all of the myths incorporated in that statement by CNN because it is disingenuous. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. CNN, Dateline Washington wrote, the recent fighting in Iraq has posed a serious challenge to Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki and his government, raising questions about his ability to hold the country together amid rising insurgency. Most of what I just read is untrue. Maliki is a Shia puppet. He's controlled entirely by the Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani. The Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani is a Shia Muslim from Iran. His view, his loyalty is absolutely identical to the very mullahs in Iran that pose a threat to the entire world. He is in religious cahoots with them, in lockstep with them. The U.S. intervention was a gift to the Iranians. It eliminated their most formidable foe. Iraq used to be Iran's foe. In fact, Iraq was the nation that kept Shia Islam in check, and it kept the Iranian nuclear ambitions in check. It kept the Iranian Shia prophecies in check. Now, the reason that was important is because Shia Islam has developed over time a mythical cult. You see, the difference between Sunni and Shia Islam is that Sunni Islam is based on the notion that the rule of Islam should rightly fall to whatever Muslim is best able to exert his influence over the Islamic world. So the more powerful the warlord, the more appropriate that individual is to govern the world of Islam. The Shias believed that the rule of Islam should be passed on as if Muhammad was somehow royalty to Muhammad's heirs. But there are no heirs of Muhammad anymore. They were killed in the battle for control over Islam during its birth, between those who coveted power and were more effective, wielding power. And as a result, Shia Islam has developed this mythical cult because they do not have a descendant of Muhammad to rely on. So they've created this mythical cult of the 12th Imam. Imam is religious leader in Islam. And the cult of the 12th Imam is extraordinarily important for us to understand. And the United States invasion of Iraq, giving Iraq to Iran, empowered the quest of Shia Muslims to fulfill these prophecies. So you ought to know what they are. And they predict that there will be an Islamic cleric / warlord, equal parts warrior, militant, and religious leader, who will unite the Islamic world, in their view, under Shia Islam, to lead a united Islamic campaign against Israel initially, uniting the entire Middle East under a single caliphate, and then successfully wielding the sword of Islam over the entire world, subjecting the entire planet to Islamic domination. That is the theory of the 12th Imam. In actuality, it is a very similar to Yahweh's predictions in his prophets of the rise of an Islamic warlord known as Gog, who will come from the area west of the Caspian Sea, who will unite Islam into a Magog federation to attack Israel 7 years before his return. And so the predictions are stunningly similar, with the exception of God is 100% right in what he predicts, and Hasatan, who is the adversary, knows precisely what he has predicted and has woven it into the Islamic religion, where they have been convinced that their Islamic leader, their religious and military crusader, is going to be advocating for God as opposed to advocating for Satan. But this is what America unleashed in the Islamic world by invading Iraq and giving it to Iran. That country is hopelessly broken at this point. And if you're an American, you can say with me, we broke it. Now we will return to Shattering Myths and explain this further after the commercial break. It may seem surprising, but it is nonetheless true. The United States invasion of Iraq was a gift to the Iranians. It eliminated Iran's most formidable foe, while it turned Iraq into Western Iran. It was the most counterproductive thing America could have done. In our program later today, we will discuss the reaction of American veterans to the battles they fought in Fallujah, now recognizing they were all for naught. Well, it's worse than that. It's not just that Americans died in vain for nothing fighting in Iraq. They made a bad situation worse. That's why this program is so committed to considering the context of battles, the consequence of battles, so that we understand that doing the wrong thing has terrible consequences. In Iraq, the American invasion made a very bad situation infinitely worse, as was the case with the invasion of Afghanistan. Iran has subsequently been empowered. It created a seismic shift in the world of Islam that ignited the Syrian civil war. More than 100,000 people have died as a direct result of the American invasion of Iraq. By invading Iraq and taking Iraq, which was the enemy of Iran, and giving control of Iraq to the Iranians. The Iranians then came to control Syria and to influence Lebanon. That growing influence of Shia Islam is very unsettling with the Sauds, with the Kuwaitis, with the Qataris, with the Turks, because they're Sunni Muslims. And Sunni Islam represents about 85% of Muslims worldwide. The United States invasion so changed the fulcrum of power between these two that Sunni Muslims are now trying to fight proxy wars, such as the war in Syria, to constrain this advancement of Shia Islam. So the entire Middle East is aflame. Directly as a result of the stupidity of America invading Iraq and replacing a secular dictator with a Shia government. Iran is now freed to complete its nuclear ambitions. That was not the case when Iraq was Iran's enemy. Iran has further divided the world because of what we have done in Iraq, between America and Europe on one side and Russia and China on the other. The gas reserves and oil reserves in the Caspian Sea are predominantly located in the southern part of the Caspian Sea and therefore along the Iranian coast. For Russia and China to have access to that gas and oil and to benefit from it through their pipeline system, they have to have favorable relations with Iran. And that's why they have established them. And so you have Russia and China with Iran, which means with the Syrian regime, which is under the control of Iran. And you have the United States and Europe on the other side, with the Qataris and the Saudis. When you have the world divided in this way, then the smallest thing can ignite world war. Obama almost did so when he drew his red line in the sand and said, you know, I don't care how many of each other you kill or rape or mutilate, so long as you don't use chemical weapons in the process. And then he took a chemical weapons attack perpetrated by the rebels, blamed it on the Assad government, and sent the entire American war apparatus to start bombing Syria. The only thing that kept that from igniting World War III was Putin, when he came up with the idea, why don't we just destroy the chemical weapons rather than get the entire world involved in war. One of the great consequences of the American invasion of Iraq is that terrorism did not exist in Iraq prior to our invasion. Iraq was one of the most peaceful places actually on the planet. Now, it's true that it was ruled by a tyrannical dictator. But that is the only type of government that works in the Islamic world. Saddam Hussein hated fundamentalist Islamic terrorists. He would not allow them to influence his country. And 99.9% of terrorism is perpetrated by fundamentalist Islamics. So since Saddam Hussein was a secular dictator and was universally opposed to the fundamentalist Muslims, terrorism was a non-factor in Iraq prior to America's invasion. But once we deposed Saddam Hussein, then it became a killing field. There is no insurgency in Iraq, despite what CNN has written. And the country is irreconcilably split into three, with Maliki himself driving the wedge and wielding U.S. weapons in favor of Shia Islam and Iran. which means that Malaki isn't and has never been holding the country together. Iraq is split between the Kurds, who want nothing to do with the rest of the country, the Shias and the Sunnis. And right now it is the Shias that are empowered because of what America has done. The CNN article continues. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said Sunday that the United States will help the Iraqi government in the battle against al-Qaeda-linked fighters in western Iraq, but stressed that it won't send troops. Well, the fact is, the United States can't help because we caused the problem. Also, there was no al-Qaeda in Iraq prior to the American invasion. George Bush lied when he said that we needed to invade Iraq because of that Iraq provided a base for al-Qaeda. It was a complete lie. I mean, that wasn't even a gray area. That wasn't even a half-truth. That was just an absolute lie. Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein were archenemies. One was a fundamentalist Sunni Muslim. The other was a secularist. And because fundamentalist Muslims despised secularists, they were at war with one another. They were arch enemies. They did not aid and abet one another. There was absolutely no al-Qaeda presence of any kind in Iraq before the American invasion. We brought them there. And today, al-Qaeda is nothing more than a legend. It is a footnote in history. Al-Qaeda today is comprised of a single, somewhat boisterous non-combatant, al-Zawahiri. That's it. If the United States murdered the last man standing as part of what was al-Qaeda, I should say the last man squatting, because that's what they tend to do, it would have no effect on terrorism whatsoever. None. Al-Qaeda was never a relevant organization. Al-Qaeda didn't even exist before America, under Zbigniew Brzezinski and Jimmy Carter, went to the Pakistani government and asked the Pakistani government if they could use their Taliban. Yes, the Taliban is an agency of the Pakistani government, to fight a proxy war against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. Al-Qaeda emerged at that time because the American CIA recognized that its database of Mujahideen could prove useful when America was doling out advanced weapons to attack the Soviet war machine. We created Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda has never been meaningful apart from Afghanistan. The 9/11 suicide bombing of America's Twin Towers in New York, the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania on its way to the U.S. Capitol was perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims, most of whom were from Saudi Arabia. That plan was conceived by Ramzi Youssef, who was not a member of Al-Qaeda. He detailed his plan, and America's FBI became aware of his plan 5 years before it was perpetrated. The plan was not conceived by Al-Qaeda. It wasn't even sourced by Al-Qaeda in terms of the personnel. They came from primarily the Al-Qaeda mosque in Hamburg, Germany. It was principally funded by the Pakistani ISI. That's the reality. That's the truth. Al-Qaeda has been nothing but this legend that America has labeled the boogeyman. And it has labeled Al-Qaeda the boogeyman because there's no one in the U.S. government, the U.S. media, the U.S. military, that is willing to tell you the truth. That those who are raging jihad against their own people and ours are fundamentalist Muslims. And that to use Al-Qaeda in any declaration of who we are fighting against is to be disingenuous. They are a legend, a footnote in history. They are irrelevant. Now, if you look at what happened in order with Iraq to create this mess, first, America deposed a secular dictator, one that had been a staunch ally of America. Second, America gave Iraq to Iran through this myth of democracy. I guess Americans can't count. Third, America established a large Shia military in Iraq. It's a huge military that we have created in Iraq. It is a Shia military. And fourth, America armed Sunnis to oppose them during Petraeus's surge in a program called The Awakening. And so we armed both sides. Big surprise. Now they're killing each other with the weapons we provided. What follows, we will attend to when we return to Shattering Myths. It is five questions about the deteriorating situation in Iraq as recited by CNN. They are dumbed down to the level of a child. I will share them with you when we return after the commercial break. Under one on this CNN article, Dateline Washington, in bold letters, headline letters, it reads, "I thought the Iraq war was over. Why is there still fighting?" Can you imagine writing the question that stupidly? "I thought the Iraq war was over. Why is there still fighting?" Then they wrote, "Well, actually, last year was the deadliest since 2008. The number of dead reached its worst levels since the height of the Iraq war, when sectarian fighting between the country's Shiite majority and its Sunni minority pushed it to the brink of civil war. Those tensions continue to be fueled by widespread discontent among the Sunnis, who say they are marginalized by the Shiite-led government and unfairly targeted by heavy-handed security tactics." Okay, it's true. Iraq is a much deadlier place. If you look at Iraq prior to the American invasion, on average, there was between 1 and 2 terrorist attacks per year. On average, those terrorist attacks killed between 1 and 2 people per attack. That was the Iraq before America invaded. After America's invasion, Iraq suffers between 20 and 100 terrorist attacks a day. The average terrorist attack now kills between a half a dozen and many scores of individuals. We have increased terrorism in Iraq as a direct result of the American invasion by 1,000-fold. If you look for the common denominator as to what, and you compare what was Iraq like before Americans' invasion, what is Iraq like now after the American invasion, and even during the American invasion, it is impossible to view the Iraq invasion as a war against terrorism, because what it did is it increased acts of terrorism in Iraq 1,000-fold. Now, if your government sacrificed thousands of American lives and trillions of America's dollars to fight a war that would minimize the acts of terrorists in Iraq, and after squandering those lives and money, the result was to increase the acts of terrorism 1,000-fold. Ought you not be opposed to that government and to the weapons that it wields? Yes, under the guise of fighting terrorism in Iraq, America made terrorism 1,000 times more prevalent in Iraq. And all of America suffered as a result of that war. We went further into debt. We lost our children, who fought not only in vain, but counterproductively, making a bad situation worse. Sunni anger, the article reads, has made it easier for al-Qaeda-linked militants to recruit and operate. Violence has flared in recent days because of the arrest of a Sunni lawmaker, Ramadi, and the dismantling of protest sites by the army in Fallujah and Ramadi. There are no al-Qaeda-linked terrorists anywhere in the world. There are fundamentalist Islamic jihadists. The common denominator is always Muhammad, his sunnah, which is his example, the hadith, which reports from Muhammad, explains his example. That is the common bond for all of these jihadists. It isn't al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is a legend. In today's world, it is little more than a myth. It is this Sunni anger at being treated like infidels by the Shia government that America imposed in Iraq that has caused the Sunnis in Iraq to use the weapons that America provided them to lash out and kill the Shias in Iraq who are wielding the same weapons, even more weapons also that America provided. This is what is happening there, and we caused it to happen. We'll be back in a moment.